You are listening to a sermon from Christ Church, a multi-site church in southwest Louisiana. Christ Church is an ever-multiplying church, striving to be ethnically and economically diverse and called to help one another follow Christ in every area of life. To hear more from Christ Church, you can subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit us on the web at wearechristchurch.com.
Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And while you're turning, I would like to pose a question to each one of you. I'll pose this question. If someone, hypothetically, if someone would walk up to you one day and ask you, "Hey, I heard you're a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? Like, what's that mean?" What would you tell them? What would you say? You know, no doubt some of us would say, well, being a Christian is about obeying Jesus, right? Obeying Jesus and doing what God said. And that's what being a Christian is all about, right? Sure. I'll agree with you on that. You know, being a Christian is walking in wisdom according to the Bible. You know, the wisdom that we gain from the Scriptures, walk in it and obey it. Sure, I'll agree with that too. You know, maybe you would say it's about going to church or taking part in the Lord's Supper or being baptized. Maybe that's what you would, maybe that would be your response to those that would ask you what it means to be a Christian. And I agree with you. That's a part of it. It's all of those things, no less, right? It's no less any of those things, but how many of you know it's so, so much more? It's so much more than just those things that I mentioned. You know, if someone asks you, what does it mean to be a Christian? Could you give them the whole meaning in one sentence? Just one statement. And you know, it's okay if you can't. I'm about to show you how you can here in a few minutes. So hang on with me here. You know, Pastor Scott, what does it mean to be a Christian? You know, I can give you that answer. It means having the living God living inside of you. That's what being a Christian is all about. God living in you. And let me ask you this morning. Are you a Christian? Does God live inside of you? If the answer is yes, then He's there. He resides in you right now. Here's another question. If you're a Christian and you answered yes, no doubt the question will be running through your mind, well, does God really live inside of me? I've professed faith. I say, yeah, I'm a Christian. But does God really live in me? What's that look like? So hang on to that thought as we read John chapter 15. And this morning we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Now notice, we've been covering a lot of the same verses, but there's so many different elements and things we can pick out of it that Jesus is saying here that, you know, we can only honestly spend a whole nother year picking apart this text and drawing out all of the riches and treasure that's found in it. So this morning, let's look at John 15, verse 1, and I'll read through verse 4. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me," and listen to this, "and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Now, if you've been with us studying John 15 over the past month or so, month and a half, no doubt you're beginning to understand a little bit of this, I hope. You know, no doubt that we're starting to get the idea behind abiding. You know, once again, just like the life sap of the vine goes into the branch, that's what it's like to be in Christ. You know, just like the life sap of the branch of the vine goes into the branch, that's what it looks like when the life of Jesus is infused or fused to the believer by the Holy Spirit, right? Just Christ has connected with us in an intimate bond. And look, we know we can't see this bond with our eyes, right? It's not something our physical eyes can perceive. But the only way that we can see this intimate union with Christ is to use not our physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes, the eyes of faith that God has given to us, right? And Jesus here is describing the two parts of this union. This union goes both ways. You know, verse 4 says it, we in Christ and Christ in us. Now, over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at what it means to be in Christ. We've kind of poked and prodded and kind of surveyed all the different elements of what that means to be in Christ. But this morning, I want to look at what it means to have Christ in us, the other side of this union. So I'm going to explore what it means to have Christ in us by answering three questions. Feel free to write them down if you're taking notes. Three questions. Number one, what is Christ in you? What's that mean? That's number one. What is Christ in you? Number two, why is Christ being in you so important? So question one, what is Christ in you? Number two, why is it important? And then number three, how can I get Christ in me? How can I get Christ? What is it? Why is it important? Or so what? That's another way to put it. So what? Or, and then the last question, how can I get Christ in me? So let's look at what is Christ in you? What's that mean? What does that mean to have the living God dwelling inside of you? And the best way to explore the answer to this question is to look at the chapter right before John 15. So go ahead and turn to John 14, probably one page over or one swipe of your smartphone screen over. John chapter 14, and Jesus is talking here. So let's look at verse 16. Let's see what he's saying. Jesus is speaking. He's saying, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you or to abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Okay, so Jesus is talking about the Father here, how the Father dwells with you and will be in you. Keep that in mind. Verse 16, let's look at verse 18 now, a couple of verses down. Jesus is saying, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Verse 20, in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So we had verse 16 talking about the Father dwelling within us. Now we have verse 18 talking about the Son dwelling in us. Let's go a couple of verses down to verse 23. It says, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Now he's speaking about the Father and the Son making their home with them. So let's unpack this a little bit. It's a lot here. God the Son, who existed before the foundations of the world, before the world was ever created, God the Son, who existed before that time, came to this earth, born of a woman, a human being, right? God took on humanity as the Son, and he became a servant. He lived as a human being. He died as a human being. He was resurrected by the Holy Spirit and ascended to heaven to reign at the right hand of the Father. And after his ascension, he sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, to live inside of every Christian. You following me? This Christ, who is in the Father and who is one with the Father, is also one with the believer because he lives in them. We're beginning to understand the magnitude of this. This is huge. You know, in other words, check this out. The Holy Scriptures, think of the Bible, God's very own words to us as his people, reveals to us the nature of himself. And what God reveals to us this morning is that he lives inside of us. If we're a Christian, he lives inside of us. You remember in John 14 how I mentioned the Father living inside of us, the Son dwelling inside of us, and the Holy Spirit making his home inside of us. All three of those things. Look at what that points to. The Trinity. The three in one God dwells in us. Can we see how huge that is? The Trinity himself has made his home in your mortal body. If you're a Christian, God himself tabernacles. That means he dwells. He makes his home inside of you. That's a staggering thought, right? This infinite God, this omnipotent God, this all-powerful God, this all-knowing God, this holy God, this just God, this merciful God, who can't be contained by walls, who can't be contained by any created thing, chooses to make his home inside of a believer. That's crazy. That's unheard of. I mean, what other religion spouts off stuff like this? This is a huge deal, you know, because it wasn't always like this, right? It wasn't always this way. You see, there was a time when men were not permitted to go into God's presence. There was a time where they could not stand in front of him. They were estranged from him, alienated from him. They were banned from entering into his holy place by a cherubim and fiery swords. No man was allowed to enter into the presence of Almighty God. But now, right now, the gate has been lifted, guys. The gate has been lifted, the cherubim has stood aside, and the swords have been put down, and a path has been made to the presence of God. And Christ is that path. The temple curtain has been torn. The veil has been torn. And now not only can we go in God's presence, but God's very presence can come into us. This is phenomenal. This is fantastic. Not only can we go to him, but he can come to us. He can abide with us. The living God, God of the universe, the God of all things, dwells in you. I don't know about you guys this morning, but that makes me want to praise the living God. Praise God, right? It's okay to say it. Amen. It's incredible. He chooses to dwell within us. So this morning, if you have the belief that being a Christian is only about following rules and being good. You know, I'll agree with you to that to a certain extent. But and it's no less than those things. But friends, it's so much more than that. So much more than that. If you think that being a Christian is only about rules and ethics, you're completely missing the point. That's not the point. Look, I'm here in front of you now, this morning, to tell you that being a Christian is about God Almighty, the God of the universe, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, choosing freely to live inside of His people. Guys, that's what being a Christian is all about. And if that doesn't humble you, I don't know what will. That humbles me. God, you've chosen to dwell inside of me and to live within me. You know? So, Christian, this morning, if your neighbor asks you what it means to be a Christian, you know, just don't just leave them with one of those other answers. Or just don't even just say, you know, hey, I'm a Christian. You know, tell them this instead. You're in your neighborhood. You know your block. You know the people that live around. You know, point to somebody's house and say, you see that house? Yeah, that's Mr. Jones's house, right? You know, Mr. Jones owns that house. He bought that house. He has rights over that house. He gets to decorate that house. He gets to clean that house. That's his house. And just like that house is Mr. Jones's house, you see me as a Christian, this is God's house. This is God's house. He lives here. He dwells here. He has breakfast here. He has lunch and dinner here. He resides here. He cleans me up. He takes out the trash. He washes the dishes. He does all that in my life because my body is His house. And it's not just me individually. It's every Christian simultaneously. We're all one great big old house, like a temple. You heard that verse, the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's what we all are. If we're Christians, we have God dwelling inside of us, tabernacling with us. And look, after you tell your neighbor this and he doesn't think you're a little crazy, he didn't do it right. You may think you're a little nuts. And look, some of you may be thinking, man, I'm nuts. Well, I'm just telling you what Jesus said this morning. This is Jesus talking. John 14 and 15, if you have issues with that, take it up with Him. Jesus is saying this morning, that God Almighty has chosen to live within you. Incredible. We can sit here and ponder that in silence for the rest of our time here this morning and just become in awe and amazed at what God has done. So we looked at what it means for Christ to dwell in us. Now let's look at why this is so important. You know, okay, God lives within you. All right. God lives within me. What does that mean? How does that, so what? You know? My wife and I, over the past 3 years, have had 3 children. 3 years, 3 children. And we realized that this September is the first one, it's first September in 3 years that she hasn't been pregnant. And we like to joke around with everybody and say, you know, she decided to take this September off, you know. But, you know, even though my wife has taken the fall off, the memories of her pregnancy and her bringing a child into the world are still fresh on her mind. And she'll be the first to tell you that when the mother is expecting a baby, everything changes. You moms can relate to that. When you're expecting a child, your entire world changes. She lives day by day consciously aware of that baby's presence. Right? The baby becomes her one passion, her one focus, an all-encompassing reality in her life. Her priorities change. Her lifestyle changes. Her behavior changes. All of it changes completely. You know, how many of you heard doing such and such as unto the Lord? You've heard that phrase before? Well, that's what a pregnant wife does with a baby. She eats as unto the baby. She sleeps or not sleeps as unto the baby. She endures sickness and nausea as unto the baby. She lives her whole life as unto the baby. Her life is no longer her own, but has been taken over by love for her child completely. And she may have had personal aspirations and personal dreams that she was wanting to accomplish, but the entire course of her life has been altered and changed now. And her aspirations and her dreams have changed. And guess what? She likes it. She doesn't mind putting all of her dreams and aspirations aside, because love for her baby has taken over her heart and her life. It's like, I'll gladly put my dreams aside to take care of this child, this wonderful life. She wouldn't have it any other way. And look, it's not just her lifestyle and her dreams that have changed. The very biology of her body has changed. Even that has changed. Her hormones and her chemistry has changed. Everything in her body begins to center on this new life inside of her. Everything on the outside, from her home, from her spending habits or her saving habits, to her diet, her routine, all the way down to her very chemical makeup, has changed because of this new life. She says no to things that she never would have thought to say no to before the baby. And she says yes to things that she never would have even dreamed of saying yes to before this child. She has been changed and altered, all from this little life growing inside of her. And if this is true for the birth of a baby, how much more is it true for the entrance of God into the heart of a believer? Woman or child, right? See, when God lives inside of you, you begin to change. It's going to happen. Your lifestyle changes. The way you make decisions change. Your heart condition changes. Everything changes. Your very down to the core of your being changes. It all changes because now God dwells within you. You know, it doesn't even matter how it was before. It doesn't even matter how you lived before. You are now changed and you like it. And you enjoy it. You enjoy the change. You live for the change. You know, your life has been, just like mom's life was taken over by a love for her child, your life would now be taken over by love for Christ and love for God, because He dwells in you. You start saying no to things you never thought you'd say no to before, after God dwells within you. You start saying yes to things that you never thought you'd ever say yes to, because you're changed. God lives in you and has begun to change you, right down to the core of who you are. You have changed and you love it. You love it. You delight in God's law. Instead of hating God's law before God dwells in you, like we all have done, we delight in it. It's the joy of our hearts to follow the law of the Lord, because we've changed. Something has happened to us. That's why being in Christ, or Christ being in us, is so important, guys. Because he changes you. He causes you to love him and to honor him and to serve him and to give him the glory he so rightly deserves. And you won't do all this stuff because you have to do it. There's no obligation on your heart to follow the Lord. Because after God dwells in you, you're changed. You want to follow the law of the Lord. It's going to happen because you desire him. You have been taken over by love for him. So you want to please him. You want to serve him. His law will be your delight because you have changed. You have received the power to live for him because you have changed. He changed you. Are you a Christian this morning? Have you changed? Does Christ live in you? Now, some of you may be questioning whether you're a Christian this morning. You may be thinking, goodness, in light of what I just heard, I'm pretty sure that Christ doesn't live in me. I haven't experienced any sort of change. I'm not changed at all. You know, just the way I acted before I professed Christ is just the way I act now. So if that change hasn't happened, Christ may not live in me. This is terrible. I've been professing all this time to be a Christian, but I haven't experienced any change in my heart and in my disposition. I don't want to stay this way. Have any of you asked these questions before? I don't want to stay this way. How do I get Christ in me? How do I get him in me? Well, I'll tell you what you can't do. You can't trick God into entering you like you're waving your chew toy at your dog. Come on, come in. You know, you can't do that. You can't guilt God into living inside of you because you've claimed to have done so much for him throughout your lifetime. You know, like he owes you or something. God doesn't owe you anything. God owes us nothing. You can't say, God, you owe me your presence because I've obeyed your laws my whole life. Nope. Doesn't owe you nothing. You can't buy God to enter into you. Even if you donate all your money to Christian causes, doesn't work that way. You can't buy them off. Just like you can't impress God with all of the good deeds that you've done over the course of your life. You know, and well, if I can't do any of that to get God inside of me, then how do I do this? What do I do? How can I get Christ in me? Well, you can do in your heart what John the Baptist did in his ministry. Prepare the way. You can prepare the way in your heart for him. How do you do that? Well, you can remove all of the obstacles in your heart and in your life that would keep you and God at a distance. You've got to dethrone the idols in your heart. You got to start by that. Dethroning the idols in your life. You got to remove the false Christs that are sitting on the throne of your heart. Anything that you worship more highly than God, you got to get rid of. You got to remove the idols. Another thing you can do to prepare the way is to put yourself in the path of God's grace. Put yourself in the path of God's grace. What's the path of his grace? Well, where in this world are you going to see and taste his grace most fully? Well, right here, in the Word, in the Scriptures. Put yourself in the pathway of grace. Pick up your Bible and read it and begin to study it and begin to chew on it and meditate upon his word. That's the path of God's grace. Another path of God's grace is community. What's community? We've talked about that all this year. Community is being with the body of Christ, God's people, being here in service on Sunday morning, being at community groups throughout the week. That's putting yourself in the path of God's grace, in the Word, in community. Another path of God's grace that you could put yourself into is prayer. Prayer. You know, just simply talking to God. Look, if you want Christ to be in you, all you got to do is ask. Ask. God, I want you to dwell within me. Asking in prayer is putting yourself in the path of God's grace. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through faith. That basically means laying it all on the line, putting it all on the table, knowing that there is not a single thing that you can offer God in return, and just ask Him. Ask Him. You can ask Him to make His home within you by faith. But Pastor, how will I know He's going to enter? How do I know? I could lay it all on the line and maybe nothing will happen, right? How will I know that He'll abide in me? Well, I don't know. I'm not God. That's God's sovereign choice. And I leave that to Him. But what I do know this morning is His character. I know His character. I know how He responds to those who ask Him to enter in faith. How do I know? Well, the Bible shows us those who have asked. The Bible shows us those who have pleaded and begged God to make His home in them. The Bible shows us those who have taken the kingdom of heaven by force. Scripture shows us that. Scripture shows us those believers who have fought their way to Him. Not taking no for an answer. God, I'm begging, I'm pleading with You. Please make Your home in me because I desperately need You. Scripture shows us those believers. One example is the woman who crawled through the crowd just to touch the hem of His garment. Just to touch it. Oh, how accepting of her was He, right? Zacchaeus was so determined to see Jesus that he climbed way up in a sycamore tree over the crowd to see Him. And what did Jesus do? He said, Zacchaeus, come down from there because I'm coming to your house today. He invited himself over to his home to stay in his home. Are you seeing the parallel here? Zacchaeus fought his way to God. And God allowed Jacob to wrestle with Him all night. See, He works with us. He condescends to us when we ask Him. In passion, in diligence, with the right motives. He comes down to us. He lives in us. These are just a few examples. There are many more in Scripture. But I think judging by the nature of Christ Himself, we can see this. I mean, if you've read the Gospels, you can see His warmth and affection towards sinners. You can see His affection towards those who desire Him, going even so far as to suffer and to die for them. Can we think that in light of all that He would honestly deny someone His presence who's actually genuinely asking for it? No. No. He says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I can't help but think of John chapter 6, verse 37. We looked at that this morning in the class. And I want to get the words right. John 6, 37. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, whoever really comes to me, not playing games with me, not trying to barter with me, not trying to say you owe me for something, but whoever comes to me in genuine faith, look at what he does. He says, I will never cast out. We have that assurance this morning. He will never cast someone out who genuinely asks and genuinely begs for God's mercy. He will never cast them out. He said, I will abide in you. I will. Jesus says that he will abide in every soul where faith, however small the faith is, however weak it is, however feeble that faith is, it doesn't matter. Whoever comes to Jesus where genuine faith is exercised, he will abide. We have that guarantee. Come to him this morning. Ask yourself, or ask the Lord, do you live within me? Do you dwell within my heart? Is there a change in my life? Do I live my entire life as unto you? Come to him this morning by faith that the living God may abide in you.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Christchurch. To hear more, subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or visit our website at wearechristchurch.com.